This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You're listening to the Productive Muslim Podcast, Season 1, Episode 5.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Productive Muslim Podcast, the weekly podcast where we help you live a productive lifestyle so that you can be successful in this life and the hereafter.
Assalamu alaikum, productive Muslims. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mifram Arif, and today I have for you another interview with a productive Muslim. Now, if you're new to these interviews are ones in which we speak to amazing individuals from all walks of life. We get an insight into their productivity and takeaway lessons we can implement. And joining me on the show today from Durban, South Africa, is our guest, Sheikh Ismail Kamdar. He's a senior lecturer and faculty member of the Islamic Open University, the founder of Islamic Self-Help, and a radio presenter. He's also a homeschooling father of four children, has authored over six titles in the area of Islam, personal development, and homeschooling, with his first book published at the age of 23. So mashallah, many amazing things that our guest today has accomplished and is continuing to accomplish. So I hope you enjoyed this interview with Sheikh Ismail. This show is sponsored by the Productive Muslim Academy, an online platform built for serious and committed individuals like yourself who want to improve themselves. I'm a member myself, and I must say this place is a goldmine of knowledge with unlimited access to personal development courses by experts. And the best thing about it is that it's all faith-based, meaning it combines between religious teachings and the best of modern personal development. It also contains access to a private Facebook group where you can network with like-minded individuals, a book club to encourage you to read regularly, exclusive webinars, and more. Plus, there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. So that means if you don't like it, you can request a refund, no questions asked. So give it a try by heading over to productivemuslimacademy.com and take your life to another level. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Ismail. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair for having me. I'm a very big fan of Productive Muslim. In fact, it's one of the inspirations behind my own website. So it's a real honor to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, mashallah. First thing I wanted to put forward to you is like, can you just tell us about yourself and what you do?
Okay, very briefly, I am the faculty manager of the Islamic Online University. I'm the founder of IslamicSelfHelp.com. I'm a radio presenter. I have a weekly radio program called Living Islam on Radio Al-Ansar. I'm a da'i. I do da'wah in my locality and internationally. I homeschool my kids, and I'm a blogger. I also write for magazines. So I think that kind of sums it all up.
Yeah. All right. So you start off with doing Islamic sciences and working in that area. Now you're also writing in the area of self-help and along with the other things that you're doing. So I'm curious to know, was this always something you wanted to do, or was there a point in your life that you decided to do this?
Well, this is kind of like an evolution in my life. You know, I started off, you know, studying Islamic studies, became an Islamic studies teacher. But in 2011, I've got promoted to this management position, and I really had no clue about management. my only area of knowledge was Islamic studies. And so I started reading books. I started reading books like The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and all these kind of books. And I really got into it. You know, I really started to enjoy the books and enjoy the podcasts and the videos. And they began to transform me. I found myself being able to do so much more than I ever thought I was capable of doing.
Wow.
And as this went on, I began to realize there's a lack of Islamic products in this area. And I saw a niche, a market that wasn't being catered to. And from there, slowly the ideas developed. First, the idea for the time management book, then the self-confidence book, then the website itself. And it just grew one idea after the other. So it wasn't something I planned. If you had to ask me 10 years ago, I probably hadn't even heard about self-help or personal development.
Yeah.
I initially did this for myself, to develop myself, to grow myself. And I just grew to love this field so much. I wanted to share it with others and Islamize it. And that's where the idea grew from.
Hmm. All right. So it sounds like you heard about this field, and then you just developed your interest in it, and then you moved more towards that area. I've also heard about other people saying how they have multiple interests and they don't know like which one to go more into. So how did you know that you want to do more in this area?
Well, for me, the reason I went more into this area was not just because it's what I wanted to do, but because I've seen a need for it.
I think
that's really what we need to do. You know, I mean, if you've got multiple interests, we have to look at the one where it's going to benefit the ummah the most. You know, the one where most people are going to benefit from. Because as Muslims, our productivity is not just linked to ourselves, but it's related to the ummah as a whole. So for me, I saw a need for Islamic products in the self-help area, knowing that they will benefit the Muslim ummah. So this trumped all my other personal interests because of the fact that it will benefit so much more people. So that's why I gravitate in this way. And that's what I advise people to do. Between all the things you love, choose the one that's going to benefit the ummah most and focus on that.
So finding the in-between between like what you have an interest for and also what there's a need for as well. And that's how you found this area.
Yeah, finding a way to realign the two is basically what you're going to do.
All right, so going more deeper into productivity, I want to put you on the spot and ask you about your own personal productivity. So, I mean, you have multiple roles, responsibilities, and I understand that along with you being a teacher, a writer, life coach, a father of four children who you homeschool, how do you do it? How do you make it all work?
Well, having long-term goals and motivation is most important. You know, you get those days where you think, you know, it'd be so much easier to just put the kids in school instead of having them at home all day. And you get those days where you feel like maybe I should cut out some of my products or some of my projects and do less things. But what pushes me forward in those days is the long-term goals, the motivation, that everything I do plays a key role in benefiting the ummah in some way or the other. And so I would not justify giving it up. I cannot justify to myself giving it up. So, for example, my radio program takes place on a Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Right? By 9 p.m., I am very tired.
Yeah.
But I will go on air and I will do the best radio program because it reaches hundreds of thousands of listeners across the country and online, and it's benefiting the ummah. And so that goal of benefiting the ummah takes precedence over my own tiredness and my own personal desires, because that's really the key motivation. It's the same with homeschooling. You know, it's when I think long term, what do I want my kids to be when they grow up in terms of their morals, their character, their drive, their personalities? I realize that this homeschooling is a sacrifice, an investment that will pay off in the long run. Mm-hmm. And so that motivates me to keep going, even on the days where we may be too tired or we may not be in a good mood, or whatever the case may be. So it's really important to have long-term goals and source of motivation. That's the only thing that pushes you to achieve more than others, to really have a strong motivation. And I think for me, my primary motivation is benefiting the ummah. That's really what pushes me forward in anything that I do.
All right. So with long-term goals, how many long-term goals do you have? I mean, since you're doing a lot of things, it doesn't mean you have a lot of long-term goals, or?
Well, they all actually relate to one or two long-term goals. You know, they all align in some way. I have like a point that I want to reach in my life. And from there, it branches out into three things I need to get to that point. And that branches out to six things I need to do to get to that point. And from there, you know, I'm actually working in a triangular manner. I'm doing 10 things now, which would lead to 5 things in the future, which would lead to two things after that, which will finally reach to my ultimate goal. So it may seem like I'm doing a lot of unrelated things, but behind the scenes is actually all working towards one primary goal. You know, if you had to really go down and deep to the primary goal of every Muslim, it should be to please Allah and enter Jannah. And you know, my motto of life is to leave this world a better place than I found it. And every project I pick up works towards that goal, you know, to improving the lives of someone or the other. And in terms of this world, I have my own worldly goals as well. Of course, you know, we're not supposed to forget the dunya. We have to balance deen and dunya. But, you know, to become financially independent, to be able to fund my own dawah, to be able to do dawah completely for free. To do that, I need sources of income. And, you know, all of these things work together. Some of the stuff I do are free dawah projects. Even my radio program is done completely free. It's a volunteer project to benefit the ummah. Many people don't know that. They think I get paid to be on radio, but it's actually free. Other things like the self-help ebooks and courses and my management job, they help me provide for my family and have enough money to fund my own dawah. So it all related. Everything works together towards a primary goal. And so therefore, I don't often feel like I'm doing many things. I just feel like I'm working towards one goal. And these are all different goals. check to reach that goal.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense, because when you have that clarity that all these things are leading towards one goal, there's a you're able to work towards each one and give it its own time.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so I mean, it sounds like you're very motivated and ambitious. And is it something that you've always been like, or was it something that came over time? Like you had a point in your life in which you're like, okay, I got to get my acts together.
You know, to be honest, I think I've always been like this. I cannot think back to a single time in my life where I would say I was lazy or unmotivated. In school, I would get good grades. I started studying Islam full-time when I was 13.
Yeah.
I started doing Dawah when I was 16, got married when I was 20, wrote my first book when I was 23. I literally cannot remember a point in my life where I was not doing anything productive. It's just been like that from the time I'm a kid. It's partially because of good parenting, alhamdulillah. My mother done an amazing job, single mother, raising us on her own. To raise us to be dini conscious, and she herself, she runs a school, she serves the ummah, and that was a motivation for me to follow in her footsteps and do things that benefit the ummah. So parenting is one thing that helped me to always be motivated from a young age.
Yeah.
And the other thing is the way my personality is wired. You know, last week, Saturday, I had 2 hours without any work to do. My to-do list was finished. And I felt frustrated that I'm wasting 2 hours. That's the kind of personality I have. So I just have to fill up my times with things that's beneficial, because that we only have one shot at life, and yeah, we want to pile up as many good deeds as possible. So alhamdulillah, I think I've just been built in with a personality that's always been motivated to just go and do more and more and more. Alhamdulillah.
So are you saying that you don't have any like lazy days, like down days?
I do have lazy days, but that's scheduled as well. Sunday is my lazy day. Yeah, you know, I have my, yeah, and I have my vacations twice a year. I go to the mountain ranges or to an island or whatever with the family. You know, go and have a vacation with the family once or twice a year. I do that. Every Sunday, I wake up late and I just have fun whole day. I don't think about any work or do any work. But that's scheduled in. To me, that's part of productivity.
All right.
That we're actually making time to have downtime so you stay productive. Because I believe if you don't schedule fun time and downtime, you end up really frustrated and burnt out. So that's all scheduled into the way I live my life. And that way, it's a very balanced life. You know, if you actually spend a day in my life, see, I have a lot of fun. It's not just work all day.
So if that's the case, then what would you say gets in the way of a person wanting to lead a productive life?
I think it comes down to goals and motivations. You know, people don't really know what they want to do with their life or why they want to do it. I found some people, they make to-do lists, but they don't follow through their to-do list because there's no real motivation to do anything on the list. It's not working towards a higher goal. It's not working towards anything long-term. So really, it comes down to lack of motivation. I believe if someone has a motivation, they have something that they really want or they really need, and they know that if I don't get this, I'm going to regret it for the rest of my life, they will do whatever it takes to achieve that goal.
Yeah.
But many people just don't have that. You know, they're just coasting through life. They're just doing whatever comes next. They're doing the bare minimum to get their salary, to make it through the day. That comes down to not having motivation or a goal. So I would say the primary factor is to have clear-cut goals. If your goals are clear and the things that you really, really need and want, you will push yourself beyond the norms of other people to get those goals because they are seriously important to you. So that's really the primary thing to me, goal setting and motivation.
So in your case, when your workload becomes like stressful and it becomes overwhelming, then how do you deal with that?
No, actually, I have an article about this on my website, IslamicSelfHelp.com.
Right.
The article is called Time Management for Bad Days. Right? Okay. And I wrote it when I was having a bad day. So I was having a really bad day and I wrote some advice to myself on how to handle that day. And that became one of my most popular articles, Time Management for Bad Days. And it's primarily 3 things that I would do when I'm having a bad day. The first is that I will prioritize. I will say, okay, I've got 20 things on my to-do list. What are the 5 things that have to get done today?
Yeah.
You know, the 5 things that I can't reschedule. So I will choose those 5 things and only focus on those 5 things for that day, right? Everything else, I will either delegate it to someone else or reschedule it for another day, right? So this is primarily how I will handle a bad day or a difficult day or overwhelming day. I will choose the 5 most important things that I have to do today and focus only on those things. I'll delegate some other stuff. So for example, the homeschooling, I'll tell my wife that, you know what, I've got a lot of work to do today. So can you handle the homeschooling today to see the work the kids have to do? So delegate that to her. Yeah. Or with some of my management work, I may delegate some work to my assistant, right? So that takes some stuff off my plate and brings down the stress levels. And anything else that's, for example, due in 1 month's time or 2 months' time, I will reschedule it for another day when it's a quiet day. I know on a certain day of the week I'll have less work. I will reschedule those that work for that day. So through delegation, rescheduling, and focusing on priorities, we're able to be productive even on the most stressful of days, alhamdulillah.
Mm. So it sounds like you have a plan for bad days, like a bad day plan.
Yeah, it's I did something, as I said, I've written a whole article about it, and it's something you have to have because you cannot go through life without bad days. Bad days are going to come your way.
Yeah, that's true. We'll link that in our show notes. So the next question here was about what advice would you give to your 20-year-old self about being productive and making the most out of your life? What would you say?
Honestly, I wouldn't change anything about my life, alhamdulillah. You know, I just turned 30 a few days ago on the 1st of September. Right?
Yeah.
I was born on the 1st of September, 1986. So I literally just turned 30 a few days ago.
Yeah.
And I reflected on my 20s and I just say, alhamdulillah, Allah has given me a productive youth. In my 20s, I got married when I was 20. I became a father when I was 21. Became a published author by 25, a manager by 24. I became a founder of my own website by 28. I don't see anything that I would change. I'm very happy with the way my life played out, even the bad times. I mean, I was fired from jobs. I was unemployed. I went through some serious challenges, but every challenge I went through shaped me into who I am today, and I wouldn't change it. It all was partial of making who I am today. Hmm. So if I had to give advice to my 20-year-old self, I would say continue doing what you're doing, but, you know, don't stress. You know, I think my 20-year-old self used to stress too much and worry too much about things going wrong and what will people say and, you know, those kind of things, which as you grow older, I learned to just say, this is life, you know, just take each day as it comes. Don't be stressed. Hmm. Don't stress about it. That's probably the only advice I would give. Otherwise, I wouldn't change anything about my life. Alhamdulillah, it has been a very productive 20s.
So that's interesting that you said you got married at 20 years old and became a father at 21. So I'm curious to know, getting married and becoming a father at such a young age, did it help you become more productive or?
I believe it definitely made me more productive. And everybody I know who became parents at a young age has had the same experience. Because when you are now a father, you now have a family to support. And when you have a family to support, you're going to work harder than someone who's single because you literally have to put food on the table at the end of the month. So you're not going to be lazy. You're not going to be wasting time. You have responsibilities, and those responsibilities help you to mature, and they also give you more motivation. Mm. You know, a person with a family has more motivation to work and get a better job or get a promotion than someone who's single. So I believe that getting married young gives you that motivation that I have to succeed at life. I can't be lazy now because I have a family to take care of. And that really is one of my primary motivations right till today, taking care of and providing for my family. You know, it's something that pushes you to do your work every day and to work harder than others because as your kids grow, you want to give them more things. You want to take them for Umrah. You want to do all of this stuff.
That's
and you
true.
Need more money for all of that. So, you know, it all becomes part of the motivation to be your best and to do the most that you can do. So, you know, alhamdulillah, it's really been a blessing to me to have all my kids and to be a father at a young age. I mean, my eldest is going to be 9 years old next year, and I'm 30. You know, we get to have a lot of fun together because I'm still young.
You
know? Yeah. It's not like he has a father with no energy.
That's an interesting take on it. All right. So in your day then, how does a typical day look like for you?
A typical day for me, it kind of for me going through each task on my to-do list one by one. You know, I wake up in the morning. Firstly, I make my to-do list the night before.
Yeah.
So when I wake up in the morning, I already know exactly what I need to get done for the entire day. And it's just step by step. You know, I don't stress. If there's 20 things on the to-do list, I just start from number one and do each thing as the day goes along. Things get ticked off. And by 4 p.m., 5 p.m., often the entire to-do list is completed. I learned not to stress because I know if you have a list of tasks and you take them one at a time, it all gets done. Taking life one day at a time, taking your goals one day at a time, taking your to-do list one task at a time, this helps you to be less stressed out when working towards your long-term goals. So yeah, you'll find me homeschooling my kids while working. That's because I'll give them their work, and when they're done, they'll come by me for grading it. You'll find me, maybe answering an email, and after taking a phone call, I don't try to multitask anymore, and unless it's in a beneficial way, because you have learned multitasking takes away your concentration from any specific task. So instead of multitasking, I do things one at a time, and this helps me to get through the day. I also try to get done with my to-do list by 5 p.m. So this gives me time to spend with my children and time to spend with my wife and time for myself. That's also important to make time for yourself. Another thing I make sure I do every day is I make time for ibadah. Besides praying the 5 salah on time, I put on my to-do list to recite Quran every day. This is important for everybody to do. No matter how busy you are, you must put on your to-do list, recite Quran. You must make time for this every day.
Yeah.
Because your connection with Allah. Many people forget about this and then they say they're too busy. You cannot be too busy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, making time for that. On my to-do list, I also have every day read a book, listen to a podcast. These are things that are on the to-do list so that my own personal development does not get ignored. Also, make sure I have breaks. Every 1 or 2 hours, take a 5-minute break to watch a funny video or to take a walk or to play a short video game, whatever it is, something just to recharge the brain so you get your energy back. Although I do a lot of things, the way I break down my day and take things one step at a time, it doesn't really feel like a lot. It just flows from one task to another. I believe when you balance things out in this way, you end up making time for everything, alhamdulillah. So this is more or less what my days are like.
So one thing that stands out for me is that you have all your to-do list and you have a timing in which you aim to finish by.
Yeah, it creates a sense of urgency, because you don't think, oh, I have enough time to just take my time with this. No, I've got to get through all of this by a certain time. Otherwise, I'm not going to have time to spend with my kids or, I'm not going to have time to relax. So, again, as I said, all those stuff must be scheduled in. Time management is not just about getting things done, but it's also about enjoying what is halal. It's also about taking care of yourself, taking care of your family. So it's very important to have that time, because I know some people are workaholics. They work around the clock, and then the complaints come from the family members that, they don't spend time with us, or they themselves get burnt out after a while. So it's very important that we actually make time for family. And I found one way to do that is to give myself a cutoff time for work every day. That if work's not done by 5 p.m. and, it's not something that has to be done today, then we move it on to tomorrow's to-do list. As simple as that.
That answer actually leads me to my next question, which is, how do you relax? What things do you do to have fun, and how often do you do it? Because I know you mentioned earlier about you take trips and everything like that, but on a daily basis, do you schedule time for that too?
Yeah, every day. I mean, the evenings are fun time, except on certain days of the week. I mean, on Wednesday nights, I have some reverse that I teach Islam to, and on Tuesday nights, I have my radio program, and sometimes I have meetings at night. But on the average night, I'm free. And that's our fun time, time for some halal fun. Play video games with my kids, or, spend some time with my wife, or, watch something funny, or, watch a halal video. On my day off, on a Sunday, we'll go to the park, we'll go to the aquarium, we'll go to the local shopping malls, just to relax and have fun as a family. One of the nice things of having 4 kids is you always have someone around to have fun with. Because kids very fun people to be with. And so alhamdulillah, my household, there's a lot of fun going on. People may think that we work all day, or we're like super serious people always involved in work, but I honestly think I have more fun than most people. It's just that I schedule time for the fun, so it doesn't actually affect my productivity in any way.
And that's a good way to approach it, so that you can get a good balance in your life.
Yes, I believe a balance is very important. If you lose that balance for the sake of money or something else, it's not worth it, because what's the point of money if you're not enjoying what is halal, if you're not spending time with family? That should really be a priority.
Yeah, that's true. So we're actually getting near to the end of our interview. So I have a few more questions that I want to ask you. And the first question is, what's a book or a video which you've seen recently that has helped you in your personal growth?
Phew, that's a tough one, because I have a deadline for myself to read 40 books a year. So this year alone, I've read like 28 books already.
Wow.
And The one that stands out recently was actually an audiobook I listened to called The 10X Rule.
Okay. Right?
I don't know if you know this book, The 10X Rule by Grant Cordon. The book is basically saying that to be successful at anything, you have to do 10 times the amount of work in terms of what already works. If you find something works, you know, do it times 10. For example, if you've got a $100 advert that's generating returns on income, return on investment, then change it to $1,000, you know, time 10 it. If you've got someone who's doing their work properly, you know, give them more work to do. If you have certain things that you do well, do more of it. And what that book taught me is I need to up my game. Whatever I'm doing well, I need to do more of it in order to get more done. And what's nice about the book is he teaches you how to do more without really stressing yourself out, without, you know, feeling overburdened. And very often, the things we do, we don't realize we can do more of it. You know, we think that this is all we can do. You know, we think, for example, I can write one article a week.
Yeah.
Well, that's not necessarily the case. I could write 3 articles a week. Or we think I can post once a day on Facebook. Well, you could post 10 times a day on Facebook. You know, so sometimes we don't realize how we can be doing more without it increasing our actual workload. And this book is full of ideas on how to do that. And it's full of motivation on why you should be doing more. So I found it quite an interesting read. It was very different from the normal books I read. The author was very blunt. You know, his language was a bit coarse at times, but it was an interesting read in terms of motivating you to get more done. And I think it's something which I needed to help me up my game to the next level.
So how do you actually find the time to read then? Do you schedule that as well?
Yeah, that's on my to-do list. In fact, that's next on my to-do list
as well.
As soon as this podcast is over, I'm reading for the next half an hour because that's next on my to-do list.
All right. So your to-do list would say something like read for half an hour? Is that what it says?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, because I heard another approach about having a certain number of pages to read, and then there's also timing by timing as well.
Yeah, I focus on timing because depending on the type of book I'm reading, I may have to read faster or slower.
Right? Yeah,
so
that's true.
Therefore, I'd rather just choose a time than choosing a number of pages because some books have more print on a page, some have less print, some you need to read slower to digest it, others you can speed read. So I just choose half an hour a day for reading, however much gets done in that half an hour.
All right. So my final question is, how would you define a productive Muslim?
A productive Muslim, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we should be working to helping the Ummah. So my view of a productive Muslim is someone who, when you pass away, you have left an impact on any portion of this Ummah. And you have left behind people who make dua for you, who ask Allah to forgive you and who will miss you. This means that you made a difference to this Ummah.
Yes.
Whether it's a group of orphans, whether it's a group of widows, whether it's reverts, whether it's people who converted to Islam through you, whether it's people at your local masjid, or whether it's a million people. The fact is you made a difference in somebody's life. Your life was dedicated to uplifting any portion of this Ummah. If you are making a difference to the lives of anyone, you are being productive. But if you're only focusing on yourself and your own money and your own worldly success, then that's not productivity. Productivity in terms of an ummah is benefiting the ummah, right? We're not a selfish ummah. We are ummah who care for each other. So I would say to truly be a productive Muslim, we must leave an impact on the ummah and we must leave behind people who will make dua for us and ask Allah to forgive us and who will miss us. These are the people who will count on our scale of good deeds, and that becomes productivity in both worlds.
That's true. That's true. Okay. Sheikh Ismail, thank you so much for coming on the show. I've taken away many insights from this. Is there any final advice that you would leave for our listeners? Just whatever's on your mind that you didn't get to mention throughout the interview?
Yeah, well, my final advice to the listeners is to remember that you only have one shot at living in this dunya, in this world, and we don't know how long we're going to be here. So it is crucial that we utilize our time in this world to build the akhirah, to build our afterlife. Don't wait until you are older. Don't wait until something happens to change your life. You be the something that happens. You change your life today. Because at the end of the day, we're going to be responsible to Allah for how we spent our time, how we spent our wealth, how we spent our youth. All of these are things that we have to answer to Allah for. And so as Muslims, you know, being a productive Muslim is not something that's a fancy title or something that some people do. It's actually something we're all supposed to do. It's supposed to be part of who we are. because this is a fundamental of our religion. We are accountable to Allah for how we spend our time and how we spend our resources. So let us be productive in how we utilize every aspect of our lives. That's my final message to the listeners. Jazakallah khair for having me. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So everyone, I hope you enjoyed today's episode and took away many insights. For any further information, anything that we've mentioned in this episode, you can be able to find out in our show notes, which can be found out on our blog, productivemuslim.com. Or if you want to go see those podcasts along with any other episodes which we've released on the podcast, please do check us out on productivemuslimpodcast.com. And there you'll be able to find out how you can tune into this podcast online and also on your devices. So on your phone, say, for example, you're commuting, you're driving, you can download these episodes on your phone at home and then play them offline. So you don't have to worry about using mobile data out and about. You can just use it on your Wi-Fi and then you're off. So you have no excuses to tune into this podcast. And on the way, please do head over to iTunes or Stitcher Radio to give us a review. Because you know what? The thing with reviews is that it helps us reach more people. It helps us help more people. So if you too are passionate about being productive, being able to get the best out of your life, then you will also want to spread the message as well. And so please do help us in that. All of those details, you can just go straight to our Productive Muslim Podcast website. So that's all from me. I'll see you all next week. Till then, be sincere and work hard.